Halloween. It's Brian Noonan in for Justin Kaufman, 720 WGN. I hope you are having a wonderful time. If you are watching the Bears or a Bears fan, you are having a wonderful time. 20-3 in the third quarter. Unbelievable. All right, we turn our attention back to Halloween and back to monsters. And some of you may think, monsters, there's not monsters, Frankenstein, Dracula, that's not really happening. I've heard of Bigfoot and perhaps the Chupacabra, but that really can't be going on. That's just nuts. Well, not really. According to author and journalist Linda Godfrey, her new book, Monsters Among Us, An Exploration of Otherworldly Bigfoots, Wolfmen, Portals, Phantoms, and Odd Phenomena. She joins us now on WGN. Linda, happy Halloween. Thanks for taking some time tonight.
Oh, certainly, and happy Halloween to you and all your listeners.
So, how widespread is the monster phenomenon among us? Because a lot of people, and I'm sure you may have started out, are skeptical. They hear that, we hear about Bigfoot. Come on, this is all hogwash.
Right, and that's understandable. I mean, it's not like they're right in most people's faces or that most people even give them a lot of thought, you know, and I felt the same way at first also, but they are, the phenomenon, whatever it is extremely widespread, like in worldwide and maybe beyond, from my latest writings here. But they're really everywhere, and I don't blame people for being skeptical. I know I laughed when I was a journalist just starting out at Southern Wisconsin area newspaper, only a couple hours north of Chicago, I might add.
Okay.
And there is actually quite a big chapter devoted to something that happened in Chicago. I can mention that later if you like. But, you know, I didn't believe it either until I found out that our county animal control officer was keeping a manila file folder in which he was very nicely recording callers who were telling him there was this thing that if there was such a thing as a werewolf, this was what it would look like, was what they always said. And then they would describe something around 6 feet tall, looked like a wolf or German shepherd, all canine, long muzzle, pointed ears, walked on its tiptoes, like, or toe pads, like animals, like canines do.
Right.
And then I went to interview some of them. Because once you've got a manila file folder in the office of a county official marked werewolf, that's news.
Sure it is. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, you pretty much have to. And when I went to interview these people, they did not seem delusional or, you know, on drugs or anything like that. They were men, women, young, old, blue-collar, white-collar, a very wide range of types of people that were seeing this. And I decided they were seeing something. I didn't know what it was. I suspected very highly that it was not like a Lon Chaney, Jack Nicholson, Hollywood-style werewolf, and I still don't really believe that.
Okay.
So there are some other things I'm willing to allow for now.
Such as? If it's not, so you're saying you don't believe that it's a man or a woman who see a full moon and then they transform.
Right.
Right. So what do you think it might be?
Well, you know, most of the sightings that I receive, and this is 25 years later and I'm still receiving them, most of them refer to something that looks and acts almost totally like a natural canine, you know, other than the fact that it's running on its hind legs, maybe carrying some roadkill, and that it does seem to stare at people and they feel that they're telling them, you know, something simple like, get any closer and I'll jump on the hood of your car, you know, that kind of thing. Other than that, you know, there's no indication that they're part human at all. But there are other types of manifestations. When you have a type of religion where there are shaman or medicine men trained to do certain ritualistic acts, it's believed that they can project their thoughts in a certain way that they can be seen by others or envelop themselves. You know, there is the Christian tradition of demonic entities,
mm-hmm.
And you know, there are enough reports of things that fit this sort of thing, the black phantom dogs like those in UK, that you can't, I finally decided I couldn't dismiss them because those witnesses seem just as sane and diverse and frightened and sincere as the witnesses of the ones that looked more pure canine. So, and I think I've said right from the very beginning that we probably aren't dealing with just one single type of creature or entity. I think there are probably several different factors that kind resemble canines, and so they all get lumped under this one convenient title of werewolf.
So with your background in journalism, which is where you began your career, when you get a report like this, and you mentioned initially you were kind of skeptical, at this point now, since you've written 12 books, how do you follow up to try to see if the reports are legitimate? And even if you believe they are, then what are the next steps to try to, do you try to track down these creatures?
Well, you're very right. It's very important. And I can't afford to give, lie detector tests.
Right.
Those are very expensive. So what I do is I talk to them as much as possible. I try to have more than one interview, if possible, face-to-face, if not by phone or, some other means. I follow up on the details that they give me. With the Internet these days, it's ridiculously easy to do that,
okay.
And make sure that everything is conforming. I look at where they're telling me the location was and check that out, on Google Earth and atlases, things of that nature, and find out what types of geological, geographical, and even human cultural artifacts are around there. So I get a nice, complete picture. And if things aren't fitting, if people seem to be seeking attention, there are other red flags that I look for. I generally don't follow it too far from there. And sometimes, for instance, there was one really kind of super strange encounter in my book, and it was a nice, very nice, stable, middle-aged couple, but I asked them to sign affidavits stating that they were giving me, to their knowledge, only true and factual accounts of what happened.
Wow. Now, and I must correct myself, Linda. I apologize. You've written 17 books. This would be 18, correct?
Well, this is the 17th book.
Monsters Among Us, an exploration of otherworldly Bigfoots, Wolfmen, portals, phantoms, and odd phenomena. What's a portal exactly?
Well, basically speaking, and they're everywhere in pop culture, from all of the computer games to lots of TV shows, and it's generally understood to be an opening into some other world or dimension. And there are different types. There are types that are in the air. There are some that just pop up in living rooms. There was one great old, Rod Serling tale in The Twilight Zone where one developed under the bed of this little girl, and the father had to go in after it. So, there are different forms of it, but it's just that idea of a window or a door or an opening between where we are and where the things we don't understand, maybe just because they're not presently understood by science, live and can somehow seem to visit us.
Linda Godfrey's my guest. I want to get to a story that you have about a portal and something appearing in front of some witnesses. We'll do that in just a minute, if you could hold on, Linda. Linda's new book, again, is Monsters Among Us, an exploration of otherworldly Bigfoots, Wolfmen, portals, phantoms, and odd phenomenon. You can go to lindagodfrey.com to get all the information, or follow Linda on Twitter at lindasgodfrey.com. She's also on Facebook at Linda Godfrey Author. More with Linda on the other side. We're talking monsters on WGN. Scary. Halloween on WGN. I am talking with Linda Godfrey, journalist and author. Her newest book is Monsters Among Us, an exploration of otherworldly Bigfoots, Wolfmen, portals, phantoms, and odd phenomenon. Linda, we were talking about portals, and you have a story about something appearing from a portal, and people might say, well, sure, that's what people say. But this happened in front of pretty good witnesses, right?
If you're talking about maybe the ones at Skinwalker Ranch, I'm guessing.
A 400-pound creature coming out of a portal?
Yeah, and, there was a ranching family by the name of Sherman that bought this ranch in Utah, and then large animals started appearing out of nowhere, attacking their prized cattle. They were seeing things that looked like through a night sky, at an opening in the sky where they could see blue sky and clouds beyond, things like that. And then these openings started, especially when they were surrounded by what they called the orange light structures. These furry large, huge creatures, estimated at 400 or 500 pounds, would come lumbering out and run off to do, you know, whatever they were going to do. And the Shermans sold the place, and Robert Bigelow, who was known in the space industry, but at that time he was very interested in finding out what was going on at this farm, assembled a great team of scientists and the best assemblage of electronic devices ever, you know, created, thinking he would conquer it with all of this stuff, and it never worked. It's the same thing, field explorers. I also go out in the field and do experiments and put up trail cams and try to take pictures. And they, whatever these things are, whether they're the Bigfoot, the dogmen, things that look like UFOs or whatever, it's like they can sense there's a camera or an electronic device, and they are always able to thwart it in some way. And if they do let their picture be taken, it's what we call a blob squatch, where...
Yeah, they're all blurry. You can't tell what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a theory that perhaps that if they are from some other world or dimension, which, by the way, our leading-edge physicists are now positing is not only possible but almost predicted and mandatory from the calculations they've been doing with supercomputers and quantum physics, that if that does exist, then speaking about those those computers, I've lost my thread of thought. But
that's all right. Let me ask you this, Linda, because people have been making these sightings for forever, really. You know,
right? They have. So,
how is it, and you've investigated how many thousands of these things, and other people investigate these, and we've been tracking these sightings. How is it that nothing has ever been caught? You know, nobody's caught a
right.
Bigfoot. Nobody's caught one of these werewolves. Show it and go, look, you see, they do exist.
That we know of, you know. I mean, I've heard of people who claim to have, and actually, what I was leading up to in my last point sort of answers this too. What I was going to say is that perhaps if these are other worlds, as you know, every living thing has a sort of electromagnetic field. Our planet does, and maybe these other worlds have their own electromagnetic field, but it's a little off. It's a little different than ours, and that would account not only for them not showing up properly on our devices that are set to capture images in the wavelengths we can see, but also in the strength of their flesh and bloodliness, for lack of a better term. You know, people think, well, they're either solid or they're completely spirit, one or the other.
Right.
And it's been seeming to me, and this is just my pure intuition based on 25 years of reading all these different types of encounters that have come to me, maybe there's a sliding scale of reality, you know, perhaps, and that seems to be borne out in that when they're here, they seem to be eating, you know, running around, leaving footprints, doing all the things that something with weight and everything would require. But then there are people who then see them disappear, or they're watching a trackway, following a trackway, and all of a sudden the tracks just stop. It's like they're generally losing their solidity and going back to whatever form they were. So the only thing I can think of to explain that is that they're kind of coming in and out of a slightly mismatched other reality.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier that you had a story about a phenomenon that happened in Chicago.
Yeah, this is one of my best Bigfoot encounters that I've ever heard. And this is a retired math teacher, mind you. And he had this experience a couple of decades ago, but remembered it very, very strongly. And it happened just east of O'Hare Airport along the Des Plaines River preserves there. And he took me to it. My husband and I went and met him there. He showed us where it all happened. But he was riding his bike along the trail there right at sunrise, stopped to admire the sunrise, and then noticed these hulking fur-covered creatures on the other side of the river. It's not a long way across there, and it's not super deep, but he kind of was hunkered down in these weeds where he'd been watching the sunrise, and the weeds made him sneeze. One of them saw him and took off in his direction, and he was terrified. He quietly sneaked to another clump of bushes, hid again, and watched as this thing picked up these giant flat river rocks, lifted them over its head, and then kind of sailed them through the air to where it had been sitting. Unfortunately, he sneezed again, and this time it knew where he was and took off after him. And he said it was very wet. It was very close. It was so close that he could see where the fur around its face was sort of laid back, and he could actually glimpse the ears, which nobody usually sees on a Bigfoot. And he said they were very human-like, but a little pointed at the top and, you know, flat against the head. And this thing started chasing him. And there's a little more to it. I mean, it was possibly displaying a sort of language. There are all kinds of other things about it. But the big thing is that it was chasing him down this bike path. He knew it was going to catch up with him. He was sure that it was going to do something to him because it was making these horrible noises.
Sure.
And he finally, at the last moment, cried out to Jesus. He says, "Help me, Jesus." Was what? And he said he wasn't particularly religious. It just came to him to say that at that time. And before he knew it, it was gone. It just, he said he didn't know if it slid back into the river or disappeared or went into the woods. I said, "What do you think happened?" He said, "Well, I've always thought it probably just ran into the woods." And that may well be. But that is what happened. And again, over 25 years with the dogmen, with many of Bigfoot's story, they seem to want to test us or ward us away from where they're doing things. And so they frighten us, and then they get out of there in most cases. Not that you shouldn't be respectful of them, because we still, in my view, don't really know what they are or what they're capable of or what they really want with us.
Now, there's been a lot of Bigfoot sightings, a lot of Bigfoot reports in Wisconsin lately. They just there's that Bigfoot show on. But what's going on up there near you? What's going on with all the Bigfoots in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I live kind of near or in the thick of it, the southern and northern units of the Kettle Moraine State Forest. Seem to be pretty well suited for Bigfoot. There are lots of sightings. I started receiving sightings from there back in 1991 when I first wrote that story about the Beast of Bray Road, and they've never stopped. There are many more. There are many out on the western side of the state where we have these cliffs and coulees, and then up in the northern half of Wisconsin, which is now, again, almost, you know, a very solid forest canopy.
Right. Well, they seem to like the woods. Linda, it's fascinating stuff. The new book is Monsters Among Us, an exploration of otherworldly Bigfoots, Wolfmen, Portals, Phantoms, and Odd Phenomenon. You can go to lindagodfrey.com. You can pick up the book there. You can also follow Linda on Twitter, Linda S. Godfrey, and on Facebook, Linda Godfrey Author. Linda, thanks for the time tonight, and happy hunting out there.
You're welcome, and again, much appreciation for having me.
My pleasure. Take care. That's Linda Godfrey. You can pick up the new book, and it's, you know, the more stories you hear about this, I'm still very skeptical, but it is very interesting to hear.